Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Hope you're having a happy Wednesday right now. Of course, his text line is 713-572-4610. And I'll just ask you, right, because y'all Texas fans, y'all probably on social media following your favorite Texans. And if you are following one, Joe_MainMixon, he is Joseph Mixon, the running back for this Texas team. He's going up right now on Twitter, and he is not happy with the National Football League, saying that I'm getting fined by the NFL for what someone else said. What's next? I get fined by them for Connor McDavid cross-checking an opponent on an NHL game, and he does the, you know, the facepalm emoji. And I'm going to be honest. I have not fully grasped what he is exactly talking
about. No, we've been kicking it around during the break because it just happened a couple of minutes ago.
I mean, to that, he had put out a tweet that said, at NFL, y'all wild, facepalm emoji, with a gif of one Shaggy saying, it wasn't me. Not Shaggy, the cartoon character. I feel like that might be one of those two eras moment where, you know, if you're of a certain
two
age.
Two Americas.
You ain't, I don't even know if that's two Americas. I feel like it's just, if you're a little bit older, you might go right to Scooby-Doo. If you're a little bit younger, you might, well, I don't know how much younger, because if you get too young, people are like, "What is shit? What are you talking about?" It wasn't.
Yeah.
But yes, that's. We'll keep digging on that, and I want to see if I figure out what's happening there. But what we will do here is talk about this Texan season through moments. What were the moments that defined this Texan season, good, bad, otherwise? What were the moments that mattered in a big way in the season, in the arc that was crafted by these Texans?
I'm going through some things in my mind here, like. Because we talked about this 2 hours ago, almost to the minute. Like, this was not a good offensive team. You know, we can talk about some of the things that they showed, you know, late or whatever, but it just wasn't. So really kind of what defined it for me were some of the personnel decisions. Forget before we get to, you know, what they did on the field, I mean, you could argue Cam Akers letting him go or moving on from him instead of Dameon Pierce.
That happened,
Right before the season?
No.
Remember, right at the beginning of the season.
Because Cam Akers ran the ball in the time period where Joe Mixon was injured.
Yeah, at the beginning of the season.
I think, did he get traded after they played the Vikings or before?
Oh, it was definitely after.
Yeah, it was after.
After, okay.
It was after. That, to me, was kind of defined what they were going to do, at least in terms...
Cam Akers got traded in September.
Yeah. But at least what they were going to do offensively, running the ball, and that was a bad decision. I mean, you can argue it. It was a bad decision, though, to me. I mean, Dameon Pierce did nothing.
The thing is...
He had one game when it didn't matter, and then did nothing.
The thing is, I felt like they wouldn't even play Akers like that.
That was my thing.
Yeah, because they ran Joe Mixon like a madman.
But he would have been a better option.
If you have a better option and you don't use it regardless.
Yeah.
I'm saying better option than Dameon Pierce.
That's my thing. I feel like they wouldn't even, let's say they did let go of Pierce. I don't know if they would have played Akers like that. I think they just used
Joe Mixon. When they played him, he would have had more success. And maybe giving you some better options.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Maybe. And we get a text that comes in that says, Slowick failed DP. I mean, in a way, like, just schematically, we knew that this was not the scheme for Dameon Pierce. And we saw that when it seems like he came on and had better instances of running the football when it feels like the offensive kind of run scheme, at the very least, changed to more inside zone, more gap scheme, especially in the playoffs. So maybe you put it that way, but it's a tacit. I mean, I feel like that's a tacit acknowledgement, or at least we can come back around in hindsight and look up and go, yeah, you probably could have run the football better with Dameon Pierce in a system that fits him. But yeah, there's very clearly a mismatch personnel, and I don't know if that's the one that I feel strongest about when it comes to their personnel decision. The one, and of course, hindsight is indeed 20/20 or 50/50, as Cam Newton once said. When you look at this wide receiver core, right, this was a defining moment. We had the conversations when they were cutting down, roster cut down earlier in the season or before the season, when they had an abundance of wide receivers, and you had to decide which way you would go with them.
Yeah.
And they went philosophically, it seems, with the younger up-and-comers, right? Or the guys that you imagine had some level of runway of development, and that was Mechie and Hutchinson. And those are the two guys that, unfortunately, you know, just dealing with poor luck of injuries, they were guys that were needed desperately. And when you get to the divisional round, and were guys that were not able to give you great play when you absolutely needed them. Hutch gave you some catches once it got going, but there was a couple of instances where you could have moved the chains and kept some possessions going if you could catch the football. One of those, to be fair to Hutchinson, was a ball that it felt like CJ was putting behind him intentionally to kind of keep him from, you know, moving into a safety that was there. But it was one of those where if you get your head around, you maybe have an opportunity to get a hand, get your hands on it and bring it down.
Sure.
But ultimately, those feel like some plays that maybe, just maybe, Noah Brown makes, right? Maybe
Noah Brown. That was an early decision.
But those were the decisions that you made. You went away from some guys that you knew could give you some level of consistent play, although injuries were issues with those guys, with Noah Brown and the like, right? But you decided to go with the Mechie and a Hutchinson, and I don't know that you were fully rewarded for those decisions, because neither of those guys, I don't think, came up really big for you this season.
So, yes, and also with and look, we're not saying, oh, they should have kept him. It just sort of defined the season is what we're talking about here. You know, you can say, well, Noah Brown, this or that, he's more of a blocker or whatever.
Only played 11 games as well.
Only played in 11 games, and actually in just 11 games had, you know, more catches than the guys that you just mentioned. You know, the John Mechie had 11 more catches than him. Xavier Hutchinson had 20 something more catches than him, and was a big body that could block. You talk about wide receiver screens and stuff like that.
Yep.
He came up huge when he needed to last season. So I think, if you would have ran it back, I think he would have been okay, especially since you needed some receivers at some point this year.
Right. But as far as like defining what this season was, and I don't even know if we've even talked about this. Was this season a disappointment or what?
That's a great. Let's go there. Was this season a success? Because ultimately, you end the season in some ways in the same place that you did the season prior. You lose in the divisional round. Now you're a lot more competitive, right? You're a competitor for three quarters compared to that. I mean, that Ravens game. Once you got past half, it was it was a written story.
Yeah.
And so but you're in the same place, at least when it comes to just like the actual round. Was this successful for you?
I think the answer is no, because we know there's going to be more changes. There's going to be some changes here. Like if this were last year, and I know CJ had a better regular season, but like if this were last year going in, you beat Cleveland. All right, this year you beat the Chargers. You lose to the Ravens. All right, this year you lost to the Chiefs in a very bitter, you know, referee contended game and all that. So maybe if he had the regular season, you could maybe say, it was kind of neither. You know, it still showed some promise for the future. But if you're looking at the entirety of the season and the fact that you're going to have some changes coming out of it, I think it was more of a disappointment.
Yeah.
Slightly more of a disappointment.
It's tough because it feels like you have to split the baby in half.
Yeah.
The defense was clearly
awesome.
Clearly incredible. And all of the moves that, and maybe this is something that I wanted to talk about, and maybe we get to this later in the show or another time, just like breaking down the moves that the Texans made specifically and how they actually played out and panned out, because there's a lot of these free agent moves that landed exactly and squarely how you wanted them, right? You got a lot of guys added in that played very well. Obviously, you talk about Aziz, you talk about even DeNico Autry. I had to make sure I said the right one, because you got Nico and DeNico, and you got all these guys that have similar sounding names, but DeNico Autry was an incredible ad for you. Folu Fatukasi was a very good ad for you. So many of these guys played incredibly well and helped you elevate the defense in exactly the way that you wanted and needed it to. So, like, successful in that way. But it definitely does not feel successful offensively, because, again, this was a promising offense. And the idea was, okay, now you build on that.
Yeah.
There's not building upon. There's foundational issues, in fact.
Yes.
And so now you're going backwards and having to refigure the foundation so that you can build upon it, which again feels like a waste of a year for the quarterback that you have on the rookie deal and all of these things. I feel like there was growth and development, but even for him, he had the sophomore slump because of, you know, issues with the actual offensive line and elsewhere. So, yeah, man, it's tough. It's really hard, but I find it hard to make it an out-and-out success. I don't want to go all the way to disappointment, but it feels like it leans heavier there.
Right, I totally agree. So that's like the takeaway from the season. Now, defining the season. We were kicking this around off-air as well, and we're bringing it on air right now. I kind of changed my mind on what really defined the season for me. Like, Figgy, what did you say earlier?
To me, I said that Titans' loss at home really deflated the season for me personally.
Good answer. And I was kind of with you. What would you say, like, defined the season, what it was, and where we are in terms of disappointment or success?
Oh, man, I don't know if I put a single one, but one of the ones that definitely felt like was the Jets' loss Thursday night, right? You're getting into the primetime games. I think one of the ways that it defines it is, hey, this is no longer a 12 p.m. every Sunday proposition. Mm-hmm. You are trying to be a team that plays in those Thursdays and those Sunday nights. In those Mondays, that means that you're a good team that people want to put on national television.
Yeah.
And in one of the earlier instances of having that, I guess maybe not the earliest because on week two you were on Sunday night, but one of the earlier instances of that happening, you went out and laid a stinker on the road. And in that game, that's the game that you have Kenyon Green get injured. And it's not the Green injury itself, but I think what it also implied was that he didn't lose that position until he got injured.
Yeah.
And I think that that's going to be something that we're looking at into this offseason as well, is how and it was a thing that we talked about soon thereafter, is just how loyal are they going to be to certain things, or to just even some of their thoughts that they went in to their priors, right?
Yeah.
We prior thought Kenyon Green would be able to come in, but it was evident after a couple of weeks that this is an issue at left guard, to the point where people are attacking that spot, and they still stayed with him before, yo, we need to find an answer and find a way to make this go. And that, I think, is some of the question that, you know, has come up just generally, but also is going to be a question specifically over this week and until we have some level of clarity with coordinator or what have you, is how willing are you to, you know, iterate on what feels like it might not be working to the perfect level, or to the level that feels sustainable or satisfactory is the word I was looking for.
All right, so that's another good answer.
Thanks, man.
And to me.
I appreciate it.
We'll see what the listeners have to say.
Texan, 713-572-4610. Was it a good answer?
You know what kind of did it?
Immediately everybody's like, no, it's a terrible
answer. It was horrible, awful. I went back and started looking at all the games here that I keep in front of me. And, like, all the way until the Detroit game, we were kind of going back and forth. Maybe they can get there from here. They beat Buffalo, and you're like, all right.
Yeah, that was,
know, all
I
right,
mean, that's a defining moment of the game, of the season, too. Like, I don't want to make this entirely negative.
Then they work New England, and you're like, okay. You know, okay, so maybe they are going to, you know, sort of figure in things out. But the moment where I said, yeah, it ain't going to happen, was really the Detroit game. Because they,
five picks, yeah. Text line just sent that in as well. Five interceptions.
Yeah,
loss.
Because they lose to Green Bay, and you're like, well, that was awful. Kenyon Green starts getting just destroyed, and you're like, well, that's bad. But you still kind of feel like, all right, maybe not. It's still week eight, week nine. When I left the stadium against Detroit on Sunday Night Football, and I just told myself, it ain't gonna happen. They can't get there from here.
Really?
So that kind of defined it, because they had everything going their way. They were playing good football.
Yeah.
The defense was doing what the defense ended up doing all year long, and they still lost and were getting worked on the offensive line and couldn't figure things out. I think if I had to pick one, it would be the Detroit game. Like, I walked away going, nah, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, the Detroit game.
I was going to say, I think at that point, that's when I kind of lost faith in the offense.
Yes.
Where I'm like, man, like, the defense doing their thing right now, and the offense ain't getting nothing clicked. At that point, I looked at this team as a defensive team.
Yes.
I won't say I lost faith in the offense, because, I mean, you heard us. There was times where, I mean, there's a possibility. There's still an opportunity. There's still a path. And maybe that was, not maybe, that was definitely hopeful thinking, right? But I think when it comes to, like, the moment, I still will come back to that Jets loss. And again, I wasn't trying to find just a fulcrum when the season turned, just what were those moments that made huge impacts on the overall arc of the season. But that one looms large for me, because it felt like that was when I went, oh, okay.
Yeah.
The notion of incremental growth, right? Because early on, I think you'll recall this, I was not immediately like, oh, wow, everything's all great. I was like, yeah, but they still left something to be desired. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, well, you know, you no style points. Style points don't matter. And I was like, I'm not talking about style points. I'm talking about what can be sustainable for this offense. And I was like, there's still meat on the bone. Mm-hmm. You're still leaving stuff on the cutting room floor here. And I feel like that was when I was like, okay. Or no, not before that, but D'Amico kind of preached this idea of, okay, just get the win and we can find incremental progress to our ultimate goal.
Yeah.
And I think it was around that time when the Jets game was like, no, ain't no incremental process. You right. got to put it on. You got to put it on tape.
Yeah.
And we didn't see them put it on tape damn near all the way through the season. And I felt like that was about when I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know that you can go with increment, or even if you can, in theory, go with incremental progress, I don't know that this team is going to operate in that way. And ultimately, it didn't feel like they did.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of answers. It's up to you individually, but I was holding out hope, like CJ and the defense and all that. I'm like, if they can't overcome five turnovers and they lose like that at home, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, obvious ones, the Diggs and Tank injury show up mm-hmm. as moments that define the season, especially because it felt like if you were going to put, you know, and I know the offensive line would be the obvious one, but if you're going to put one or two things that made it, that really showed up in that Chiefs game, was the idea of not having mm-hmm. that type of, you know, those types of pass catchers to be able to attack that Spagnuolo defense. That, because can you imagine that game with one or the other or both? I mean, and of course, butterfly effect, not everything plays out exactly the same, but if you somehow could just drop those guys into the game that we saw, mm-hmm. they have a really good chance of getting a victory there as well. But yeah, keep those coming in. What were the moments that you showed up? Yeah, injured key players. And injuries are going to happen in football, but it felt like you missed some big ones. And maybe I focused on the offensive ones. Maybe you talk about the defensive ones, and mm-hmm. it's a credit to the defense that they were able to still be as salty as they were, but losing Petrie and then losing Ward, who also came in and played well in that position, definitely did not help this. But yeah, let us know. Someone said they are who we thought they were. Shout out to Dennis Green. the top eight in the AFC, but in that 7 or 8 spot. And somebody said, I need the Texans to find a way to pay for T. Higgins and then draft Matthew Golden to replace Tank, and I'll be over the moon. Okay, all right. We'll
crazy. I never would have thought we needed a receiver. With the way the season. Now that's like the number one need.
We were like, you got too many wide receivers. What are you going to do with all these wide receivers?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Okay. A lot of work to be done there off Kirby. We'll keep talking about that all through the offseason here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we've reached that time where we get into our lunchtime confessions. You'll hear that next on Sports Radio 610.